Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and you're tuned in to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to having you on board with us today. In fact, we'd love to have you participate in the opportunity to have dialogue and discussion about the issue that we'll be discussing today. You can dial 401-1413, 904-401-1413, get you through to the microphone of the studios that we might be able to have dialogue and discussion on the issue at hand. When we face the issues each day on this radio broadcast, we do so not based on some philosophical rhetoric. We do so not based on a denominational plan of a rites, rituals, rules, and regulations religion. We face the issue based on the authority of Scripture. What does the Scripture say in context? Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. By the way, that word indeed simply means truly, surely, you're a real disciple. If you continue in my word, the word of God, then you're my disciples for sure, indeed, truly a disciple. And you shall know the truth, the word of God, and the truth, the word of God, shall make you free. How do we know it's speaking about the word of God? Because Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a word that is not sought today. That's a word that is rejected today. Most are not looking for truth. They're simply looking for some philosophical, ideological rhetoric and not truth. But we face issues, we do so based on the authority of the Scripture. I call it having a central biblicist worldview. A central biblicist worldview. Before we do the monologue today and get into the subject, does life have meaning? Ponder that for a moment. Does life have meaning? Does your life have meaning? If so, why and how is it revealed? How is it shown forth in your life each day? Before we get into that subject matter, though, I want to once again remind you of the special seminar that will be held here on the campus this Friday night at 6:30 to 9:30, and Saturday. That's tomorrow evening, 6:30 to 9:30, and then Saturday morning, 9 until approximately 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, with an hour set aside, 12 to 1 o'clock, for a lunch break. Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever, as a Christian, wondered how, just how, can a Christian refute the evolutionist? Where the evolutionist will say that our world is 60 million years old, or 5 million years old, or 2 billion years old. Have you ever wondered how you could confront that and know that you're right? Well, it's found in the Scripture, and it's based on a chronological timeline of what the Scripture says. You see, for some two centuries now, scholars have studied and searched and surmised just how long the world would stand. Scholars have wondered, when will the world end? In fact, there are a number of folks today, when great calamity takes place, they want to know, is this the end of the world? How can we know what the Scripture says about when the end of the world will be? Others are confused and try to appease the evolutionist and will simply say that somehow, some way, God created the world, flung it into existence, and allowed it to evolve to the state that it is in today. But ladies and gentlemen, Christians do not need to appease or attempt to appease the secularist, the humanist, or the evolutionist in our theological persuasion. What does the Bible teach us? What does the Bible say is what this seminar will be about. It is a 7,000-year, God's 7,000-year biblical timeline. It is a timeline that will help you to understand why throughout the Scripture, God talks about dates and times and days, How do we know what a day is? Is a day a 24-hour cycle? Is a day millions and millions of years, as some of the evolutionists will state? What's the truth? What do we need to know about the Word of God to make that determination? Ladies and gentlemen, this timeline will be presented by my bride, Dr. Dot Youngblood. She's the founder and executive vice president of the Conservative Theological University. She received her PhD in Christian education with a focus and dissertation in Christian biblical worldview via the historic 7,000-year timeline. I believe this makes her more than qualified, uniquely qualified to teach this seminar, and she'll bring to life an overview of the historic form of creation to the end of the world. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe you will be intrigued and challenged, informed and educated on the scripture, and it will give every participant an opportunity to learn how to defend the faith once delivered to the saints. Ladies and gentlemen, she calls it the kingdom of God, a journey through the ages, God's 7,000-year timeline. This is open for the general public. Usually, seminars of this nature are for our students enrolled in the college and the university. We're opening the doors in the summer series this year. We've had one in June. We'll have this one in July. There'll be another seminar in August. We'll talk about that later. But each of these seminars has been open to the general public so that you can be educated in what the scripture says. You don't have to have a theological doctrinal degree and a college or university to be able to better handle the Word of God. But if you're pastoring, if you're preaching, if you're a Christian educator, a missionary, an evangelist, or simply if you're a Sunday school teacher or a deacon or an usher or a leader in your church, ladies and gentlemen, you need to be able to handle the Word of God. The scripture charges us with the responsibility of rightly dividing the word of truth, and this is the way you do it. So this is for Bible scholars, Bible teachers, Bible preachers, Bible students. This is for anyone that is concerned about the details of dates and months and times and years as recorded in the scripture. It'll start at 6:30 on Friday afternoon, go till about 9:30 on Friday evening, come back on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. You'll have a break 12 to 1 o'clock where the university will provide a light luncheon so that you'll not have to leave the campus. You're free to do so if you'd like to, but you can stay right here on campus and enjoy the time of fellowship with the other seminar participants and get to know them as well as having a light lunch here. The opportunity is grand. The opportunity is available for you. The cost is only $99. And now we've made a very special exception this year for this seminar. For all of those that are participating, if you're coming with a group of three or more, it's $50 each. Now, the $50 does not apply unless you're coming in a group of three or more from your church or your association or your group. If there's three or more, for the first three, it's $150 and then $50 each rather than the $99. And ladies and gentlemen, you'll get the seminar lecture. You'll get the syllabus and a book going with that, and your luncheon, and all of that is worth more than the $99. We're simply interested in seeing you become educated in the truth of the Word of God. Journey through the ages, the kingdom of God, the 7,000-year Bible timeline. Looking forward to having you join us on tomorrow evening. You can call 904-262-8275, 904-262-8275. Leave your name and information on the recording for us to get back with you and get you enrolled and registered by telephone, or you can come about 30 minutes early tomorrow afternoon rather than getting here at 6:30 for the lecture. Get here at 6 o'clock. Get your registration done. We've got a campus bookstore for the university, about 6,000 titles and about 120,000 volumes. We'll have several of those in the rotunda for you to pick through and make a decision. Perhaps you'd like to purchase some conservative books. Conservative Theological University Campus Bookstore has one of the most, the largest collection of conservative theological doctrinal biblical books in all of the Southeast. So we'd love to have you get a little glimpse of that by way of those books that will be on display that will perhaps be of interest to you in coming into the seminar. Looking forward to having you. Joining us tomorrow evening, Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. We're 1 mile south of I-295 right here in the heart of Mandarin. We'd love to have you. Ladies and gentlemen, as we think on the subject today, does life have meaning? That's the question that goes back to the biblical times with Solomon. Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes was searching for meaning in life. He was searching through every facet and every vacuous, void, futile area in life. As you study the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon was searching for wisdom and meaning in the wonders of the world and the wisdom that he had of his own, not God's wisdom in many areas of what he was doing. The Proverbs text was given to us by Solomon as the human writer, and it's back in his younger years when he was giving everybody advice. But then in the song, in the Ecclesiastes text, in his senior years, his later years, he's realized what works and what does not work. But ladies and gentlemen, we'll look at that in just a moment in some of the texts that I want to wrap our study up with today. But ladies and gentlemen, have you ever noticed the vast difference between liberals and conservatives as to their views on life and living and the future? A recent study that has been conducted, out of which the conclusion was that conservatives, believers, live their lives and they feel life is more meaningful. Here's the article. I'll just read you a blurb or two from it to set the stage on where we're going. Ladies and gentlemen, you can join the dialogue and discussion by dialing 401-1413. 401-1413 gets you right through to the studio mic that we can discuss it and have dialogue together. This article says, conservatives believe their lives are far more meaningful than liberals, according to the study. The subtitle says, previous research suggests that those with right-leaning political beliefs boast greater life satisfaction, end quote. And then the article starts off, what is the meaning of life? I find it a fascinating, profound question with this research that's taken place here. And again, they don't mention anything about the Solomon or Ecclesiastes or Proverbs, but I equate it to that and I go right back to that because Solomon was searching for the same thing. What is the meaning of life? Does life really have a meaning? And in this article, it says, if you struggle to come up with an answer to the age-old conundrum, you should blame your left-leaning political ideologies. A new research claims that conservatives are more likely to have an established sense of their life's purpose than the liberals. Further in the article, it says, finding meaning in life is related to the sense of feeling that things are the way they should be and that there is a sense of order. Commended the author of this writing, David Newman, the author's name is. I don't know who he is. It's a wonderful article. He comes out of the University of California, and you wonder if anything good can come out of that. But anyway, the article further says, researchers examined data required from five studies looking to how liberals and conservatives rate their lives in terms of meaning and purpose in a data set spanning four decades. Participants were asked to rate their political beliefs on a spectrum ranging from extremely conservative to extremely liberal. The study's author accounted for religious beliefs when analyzing the responses and still found strong links between those who are conservatives with conservative ideologies having a stronger sense of purpose compared to the liberals. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a mouthful. That should tell us something. That should make a bold statement to everyone listening today. If you wondered why, when you watch on television on the CNN and the MSNBC and the ABC and the CBS and the other fake news networks, have you wondered why it seems that when they're talking with a liberal, they've lost their ever-loving mind? Have you ever wondered why it seems that they just are not in touch with reality? Have you ever wondered why it seems that they just are out on the Looney Tune left's coast and they do not know what they're talking about? It's almost like we're in a parallel universe when you listen to them. This article explains it, that it's generally based on the fact that conservatives are, in most cases, more 5 or 6 other surveys done in the past couple of years that point that out without any misbelief in the reality of it because it's so filled with absolute proof in its research. Now, this goes on to say, this doesn't mean that every conservative finds a lot of meaning in their life and that liberals are always depressed. But I think that if you analyze a liberal's life, you'll find more depression than you find desire and delight in going forward. These factors, this writer says, range from various personal characteristics, such as how religious persons has a situational influence, such as the current mood, et cetera, et cetera. Then the article basically concludes, a question that still needs to be addressed is why conservatives find more meaning in life than liberals, he added. But the results suggest it is more likely related to social conservatives, i.e., a view on abortion, the right view on abortion and gay rights, than economic conservative issues. In other words, this writer, this surveyor, this one that's done this study, conducted the study on liberals and what they believe and whether they have meaning in life or view life as meaningful, and conservatives. The bottom line is a relationship to God through Jesus Christ. Now, that's my words and not the researchers. But it stands to reason that if you understand that God is still on the throne, God is in charge, God is sovereign, he is supreme, and some of these looney tunes that are going around today trying to undermine and tear down the world, they simply are doing that, and they're fighting against God in doing so. I believe there are several real factors, ladies and gentlemen, that impact life and the result in these findings that I just shared with you. And again, the title of that article was Conservatives Believe Their Lives Are More Meaningful Than Liberals, According to the Study. Now, I believe there are several things that play into this, notwithstanding a central biblicist understanding, notwithstanding a need to be blood-bought, Bible-saved, born-again, that there might be a recognition that we are not going to simply lean on our own understanding. In fact, in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, that's speaking of God, and he shall direct thy path. Ladies and gentlemen, that's talking about the real need in society today to have a relationship to God through Jesus Christ, to not be leaning on our own wisdom, but on divine wisdom. In fact, in the book of James, it talks about wisdom that is earthly, sensual, and demonic. And then there's heavenly wisdom, divine wisdom. And many that's listening today, perhaps you're depending on your earthly wisdom. Earthly wisdom is simply where you take earthly, secularized knowledge and try to put it into play, put it into effect. Ladies and gentlemen, it's an impossibility to put any knowledge into proper effect until we have God's wisdom. It takes God's wisdom to do so. But I think there are several factors that impact life that result in the findings of the article that I just introduced. First of all, the individual relationship with God through Jesus Christ, being born again, makes a vast difference on how we view life. Secondly, a saved person has faith in the future, for we know who holds the future. If we are saved, we have faith in the future. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it's easy to get dissuaded and discouraged and distracted when we watch the attack on our president, when we watch the attack on our constitutional republic, when we're watching the undermining and the attempt to destroy our capitalistic republic by the socialist and the anarchist and the those that are simply following rules of disarray and destruction for our nation. Thirdly, a saved person that reads and believes the Bible will have a fundamentally more sound foundation, will have a fundamentally sound footing to live life. Fourthly, the believer will stand against abortion and murder and sodomite lifestyle and drugs, which give a much greater outlook on life and bring into harmony the Word of God. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when you're analyzing, you're balancing, let's say you got a liberal in the left hand and a conservative in the right hand, generally speaking, as all of the studies have already revealed, the conservative is one, generally speaking, not always, generally speaking, the conservative is one that's saved, that is involved in his church, that disagrees with the sodomite lifestyle, that rejects abortion and considers it absolute murder. And yet you find those things are accepted and embraced in the liberal camp. I've said several times, I don't see how a human being that has any relationship to Jesus Christ, that has any knowledge of the Word of God, can be a liberal or what is called today a Democrat, becoming more and more recognized as a socialist in America and not just a liberal. But ladies and gentlemen, the fifth thing that I believe is the underpinning that makes the difference in the impact on life and how life impacts us and how we view life is the believer will view the political issues as a battleground between good and evil, that we'll recognize the political issues, the political agenda on the left side of the aisle, on the right side of the aisle, and the fight that takes place in Washington, the capitals of our major states across America today. It's a battle between good and evil. It's a battle between God and Satan, and it's being played out more often than not in the on the battlefield are the Republicans and the Democrats and the political issues and agenda today. But I believe, ladies and gentlemen, the Christians will view government differently. I believe that we that are saved will view government and what happens in our nation today majorly on a majorly different level from the non-believer. Therefore, believers feel there is a reason for life. There's a reason for living, that we're here to be salt and light. We're here to participate and join in the dialogue, the discussion, and yes, even the debate in relationship to the political issues. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you dare believe or accept Satan's lie that comes out of many pulpits today that tells you that you're not to get involved in politics, you're not to talk about politics, that we just talk about Jesus and leave everything else up to the devil. Ladies and gentlemen, that's simply unbiblical. As you go back and study the scripture, we find men of old, men of renown. Daniel was a part of the kingdom in which he lived in. Served under about five kings, I believe it was, during his lifetime. Daniel was one that took a stand even when the laws were passed and said, you can't pray. And he did anyway. He took a stand in a political arena, but he took a stand with biblical godly truth. And ladies and gentlemen, that's necessary in life. Here's an article that says, devoted Christians view government differently. In a recent national survey of 2,000 adults conducted by the nonpartisan American Culture and Faith Institute reveals that the more committed to biblical Christianity a person is, the more likely they are to be distinguished from those who are less committed to the Christian faith, from those who favor non-Christian faith, and from people who have no faith at all, regardless of economic and governmental preferences. The survey director, George Barner, formerly known as the Barner Report, by the way, also noted that the more deeply people study and trust the Bible, the more likely they are to favor capitalism over socialism. However, among people under the age of 35, he's talking about the millennials, socialism is rapidly emerging as the economic system of choice, whether they are Christian or not. Ladies and gentlemen, this article further says across the nation, 4 out of 10 adults, 41%, say they prefer socialism over capitalism. The survey discovered that for many people, that is a knee-jerk reaction because they do not really understand what socialism really is, this survey discovers. The survey continues, says, in fact, after responding to many questions about the workings of the economics and government, the public switched from 41% saying they preferred socialism to capitalism to under 25% opting for socialism in America. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, those that are screaming socialism, like the little socialist liberal in New York that recently won a primary, 28-year-old airhead, that doesn't know anything about life and living, probably does not know how the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, was ever put together, says that she believes America should be a socialistic nation. In fact, Chicago, a bankrupt city, is now talking about putting in a socialistic system with a guaranteed income for everybody in Chicago. See how that works. It didn't work for Venezuela, hadn't worked for any of the socialistic nations in history past. But yet they're still peddling that diatribe as being exceptional rather than looking at the capitalistic republic in which we're living in. This article goes on to say, in contrast, the people least familiar with and engaged with the Bible were more likely to say it is more compatible with socialism than capitalism. You see what this article is saying, ladies and gentlemen? The closer we are to the Word of God, the closer we are to knowing what God's Word says, the more conservative we are in the realm of morals and ethics and values and political issues in the societal issues that we're faced with today. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood, Feel free to pick up the telephone and dial 401-1413. You can join in this dialogue and discussion. You're free to interact with this. It is this broadcast is designed around you, our listener, to allow you to participate. You may disagree. Love to hear from you if you do. Love to hear from you if you have other alternative thoughts. This major research says, among Protestants, 40% said the Bible is more compatible with capitalism, while 28% chose socialism. Ladies and gentlemen, it's important for us to understand some of these facts and figures. Let's just settle this with these final statements. According to this research, a deep, deep research that was done by the George Barner Organization, American Culture and Faith Institute, says in this article, Christians believe that government assistance programs inevitably make the recipients dependent upon the government. Non-Christians disagree. Secondly, Christians contend that government-funded relief programs reduce the recipient's incentive to work hard. Non-Christians disagree. Thirdly, Christians claim that socialism is an inefficient form of government, but non-Christians disagree. Fourth, non-Christians concur that the government should do more than it now has to help the poor, even if it increases our national debt. But Christians disagree. Ladies and gentlemen, what is that major survey doing? It's a 20 or 30-page survey and report. But what is it really saying? It's saying if we have a central biblicist worldview, that we're more likely to vote conservative, more likely to view the governmental system as the need for a going back to the fundamentals of conservatism in our nation today. We need to be salt and light, ladies and gentlemen. We live in a world where many today find life as meaningless. In fact, when you study the Ecclesiastes text, the writing of Ecclesiastes by Solomon, he goes on to talk about in the second chapter in particular, where he has tried pleasure, he's tried wealth, and the following verses, he's tried materialism, he's tried it all, and he says it's all vacuous, void, it is all vexation of the spirit, and there's no profit under the sun, he says. And that's simply because he was trying what the world had to offer. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand what the Word of God says. For the child of God, we need to be salt and light in the society in which we're living in. In fact, Pat Buchanan says in an article, the United States has undergone a cultural, moral, and religious revolution, end quote. And I believe that is very obvious in the battle that we see taking place in Washington today. In fact, one article says, cultural Marxism, the corruption of America. Goes on to say, called cultural Marxism, its goal is to use the arts and the music and education and the media to condition people to accept the essential elements of Marxism without identifying them as such. After a few generations of this conditioning, the article says, Marxism becomes the new reality without a violent revolution and even without awareness that revolution has really occurred. In fact, he goes on to say in this article that two countries really now exist in the United States of America. But there's a major problem, ladies and gentlemen, that's the underpinning, the foundational reason. Here's an article that says mass exodus from the church. Young adults with no religious affiliation is growing. It's a staggering reality in the survey that was found. Overwhelming majority of the millennials today do not go to church, do not have a relationship to Jesus Christ. Only 4% have a biblical worldview, and they're moving into the realm of the movers and shakers in control of our churches, our government, and our society in general today. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that if you want life, if you want meaning, if you want to find meaning in life, it's found in God through Jesus Christ in the Word of God. As we stay in the Word, stick to the Word, honor God through His Word, we'll find that there is meaning in life. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air once again tomorrow as once again we face the issue.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.